So I chose this little series here. The reason why I chose it is because mental health is a massive topic, man. Everybody talks about it right now. And we've developed, just in our world. It shows we're broken, man. We're a broken people, ain't we? I mean, we're broken. I'm not saying the world's crazy. Like, I'm a little crazy, you know. I was born that way. And we're born in sin. And depending on how you were raised and where you went and the experiences you've had, your mind goes there. And so I think we've got a world that desperately needs the Lord. What's beautiful about the Lord, when you meet Jesus Christ, you just don't get his spirit inside. You get a church, a group of people to do life with, and then you get his word. And his word is for the sole purpose. It's called the mind of Christ. That book is all about renewing the mind, the Bible. This is what he gave it to us for. This is God's opinion on every matter on planet Earth. And so it's not so popular today, maybe like it used to be. Our world's gotten a little bit more complicated. Men have become like more educated and human beings like smart beyond belief. And so they've basically thought they've outsmarted God, and here we are faced with a culture that's mentally unhealthy. They don't know what's up, and even though they would think that, you know. So basically, I just want you to know today, in closing with this message, is we can choose to be mentally healthy. We can choose to have a stable mind. We can choose, Paul says, Timothy, God does not give the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. This is the mind that the Lord gives. When we have all of our, you know, our anxiety is, you know, off the charts, that is nothing. It's fear-based. And so the Bible says God don't give that spirit, that we have the opportunity to reject it. There's where people will disagree with me. And that's okay. I'm hoping after today, looking at God's word, you might think differently about that. But the bottom line is this: we can choose it. And so today's message, I just want to say, choose well. That's all. Just choose well. Choose what God's word says over any matter out there, no matter what you feel or no matter what you think. Listen to this. Choice. It's the most powerful tool that we have as humans. Everything boils down to choice. We exist in a field of infinite possibilities, and every choice we make shuts an infinite number of doors, but it opens an infinite number of doors, both. At any point, we can change the direction of our lives by simple choice. It's in our hands, it's in our hearts, and it's in our minds. It's true. The first point I want to bring out today, as I've studied everything the Bible talks about when it talks about the heart, when it talks about the mind or the inward man of a Christian, I've looked up every passage I could find on it, and then I took all my results and just put them together. And so I want to end with three things. And the first one is the Bible speaks in Matthew 22:37, and it says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know, I believe that God don't waste words. So, I mean, if you think about everything that could be written, the Bible says the world could not contain the books in John 21. But God gave us something we can hold in our hands here. So a lot of people think, I've had people say to me before, like, you've read that whole thing? What kind of question is that? I've been saved a long time. I'm not saying you have to read it overnight. By golly, yes. There's people that read a romance novel that's this thick, and they do that in a couple of days. Yeah, this is God's mind. Yes, I read it. I need to. I want to saturate my life with it, right? So the Bible says that we should love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. If God don't waste words, if he boiled everything down into a package this small, do you know quite a few times in God's word he says, hey, love me with your all. And in the three times in the New Testament, he actually says that in the New Testament. He changes a little bit. In Mark 12, he adds heart, soul, mind, and he adds the word strength. But out of all three passages, he never takes out the mind. He puts it in every single one of them. I guess I want to encourage you this morning to give God your all. Love him with all your mind. Go after him with all. You know, I think a lot of us don't experience sometimes the benefits of it because we're part-timers. We're part-timers. It's like Jesus Christ. Remember him going to the cross? He's in the garden praying. He says, Father, let this cup pass from me. This is going to be difficult. He says, but nevertheless, thy will be done. He chose to go forward with it. The Bible says nobody took his life. He chose to lay it down. It was a choice he made. Gang, Jesus gave his all. And if Jesus didn't give his all, we would not be here this morning. We would be lost in our sin. He went to the cross fully. He went to the cross completely. All. I want to tell you this whole thing about mental health. People are real famous for picking and choosing what they like and what they don't like out of this book. Guys, we can't afford to do that. I'm going to let all my mind love all of this book. The Bible speaks about being fully persuaded. Hey, with all humility of mind, serve the Lord in Acts chapter 20. Acts 17, he says, and they received the word with all readiness of mind. All! Every bit of them was after it. You know, and some of us, you know how it is. You set goals in your life, whether it's weight loss or strength or something big in life you want to accomplish. It's amazing to me. You know the people that make it? The people that make it are the people that know what the word all means. They give everything. They're all in. They don't have plans A, B, and C. They got A. They're going to do whatever they can to make it work. There's a girl that fights in the UFC, and just a sweet girl, but nobody knows it, man. A lot of these fighters are broke. The ones at the top make pretty good bank, but a lot of them really cry out. They may, you know what she did? Her husband with her and got a little kid, and she finally wasn't making enough money, so they sold their house. They sold all the contents in it, and they moved closer to a gym. And the other day, this was not this past weekend, it was the last, she fought. And that night, she got her, you know, she got her pay, which her pay wasn't super good. It was decent. But at the end of the night, they said, we're going to give fight of the night bonuses. And that says, and it goes to her. She wept. She wept in that ring. And she says, oh my gosh, it's finally paid off because I've given my all. Those are the people that tend to make it. That they risk everything. And I just wanted you to know, God wants your whole mind. W-H-O-L-E. All of it. You're not going to fare well just to give him part of it. You just ain't. We got to follow the example of Jesus Christ. I remember going through a class by Franklin Covey. They did a seminar, and I paid $250 to sit in this thing. And the whole thing that year was on multitasking. My whole point in bringing that up is everybody multitask. You're not going to get it done. If you're going to be successful, you got to multitask. And you know what they've proven? Multitasking is a myth. It's a myth. The human brain is not capable of paying attention to more than one thing. It's not. You'll cheat everything. It's chasing the two hairs. You're going to lose both of them. The University of London did a study, and what they did is they found out that participants who multitasked during this cognitive test they did, they gave them these cognitive tasks, they experienced an IQ score of decline. It went down. Matter of fact, the people that multitasked during this test they did, this experiment, it says it was almost as if the participants had smoked a big fat joint before it started. Or, same thing, it was almost like they were sleep deprived. Like they didn't sleep the night before they came into this test. It was the same results as people that took the test and multitasked. It's a myth. One thing at a time. And Jesus clearly says to you and me, hey, seek my kingdom first. Put it at the top of your list. You know, the Bible says, Paul tells young Timothy, he says, you know, I want you to know something. Bodily exercise profits little. You want to get healthy? Bodily exercise, it profits. It just profits little. He says, but godliness, it profits all things. You know, because when you're godly, then all of a sudden you're conscious of what you're eating, how healthy you are, how I treat my wife, how my fathering's going, my neighbors, what they're thinking of me, my reputation. Godliness produces all of that stuff. So bodily exercise profits, but I'm telling you what will profit you more is get single focused and give all of your mind to the Lord. All. One of my favorite sayings at football, and there was even a shirt on this, is we used to say, be the pig, man. Be the pig. And what that means is when you sit at breakfast, you know, and grab your glass of milk, man, the cow gave some, didn't he? Yeah. You're cutting your eggs. Yeah, the chicken gave some, didn't he? Yeah. And then when you bite into that bacon, the pig gave his all. Be the pig for Jesus, man, for the Lord. Give your all to the Lord. Give your all. A thing we use around here, I've said it for years, and that is part-time workers never get the benefits. You got to be full-time. And then companies will start giving you some benefits. It's the same way in the Christian life. So, gang, I want to encourage you in as we're talking about mental health. The Bible says quite often that we should give the Lord, love Him, but with all of our mind. Some of you might be in the fix that you're in, and you're like, man, I'm not sure this works. Guess what? It don't work when you give part of your time to it. It don't work. Give your all. Put your foot to the pedal. All gas, no brakes when it comes to our minds. Saturate yourself in this book. Hey, life's tough, and a lot of us have it a little tougher than others. I believe that. Whether it's DNA, we all come out a little bit different, right? Some people struggle more than other people. But I'm here to tell you that all of us have the same goal, and that's giving all of our minds. So the first point today is just strictly that. All! Give your all. Give your all, and it'll make a huge difference. Give your all. Here's the second thing I want to point out today is this. Not only should we give our all and saturate our minds, and whatever this book says, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your opinion is, and you don't care what my opinion is. We all care what this book says. His opinion matters most, right? We're going to give all of our mind to this. But here's the next point. We got to do this together. The Bible, when you start studying the mind in the Bible, you know the Bible says that we need to be a unified people. It's very powerful. You know, it's football season, so I got another football analogy, right? A football team has to be unified. But what's awesome about football is everyone out there does not play the same position, right? Everybody's going to the same goal line. It's very similar to an orchestra that's in harmony, right? It's not because they're all playing the same instrument. They're all playing the same song. And this is how a football team works. It's the same thing. So you can have great harmony and all you want, but you got to have people singing different parts, but the same song. The goal that produces unity. Unity is not sameness. Unity is same purpose. So we all got to have the same view on this book. God even says in the book of Psalms, I've exalted, he said, his word above his very name. We've got to believe that this book can change people's lives. And I know we all don't believe that because we didn't bring people with us. We all know people that are jacked up. I was jacked up when I came to the Lord. So if I know the answers, I know where people can get real help, I would bring them to Christ, right? We have all got to be lined up with this. All of this book needs to saturate my mind. And guys, we've got to be unified on this mission. The mission is the church. You know, in Revelation, it calls this church age we live in the church of what? Laodicea. That phrase, Laodicea, means the rights of the people. I heard a guy the other day say on an interview, somebody just said, because it was a guy that was transgendering, and he said, what's your definition of a man? And they looked at the other person and go, well, what's your definition? And I just thought, what's the rights of the people? Everybody can have your own definition. It used to not be that way. The Bible's pretty straight, and straight as an arrow on a lot of subjects, but people don't like that. You know why? We live in an age where it's the rights of the people. Hey, what do you want? Hey, what do you think church should be like? Well, who cares what I think church should be like? Why don't I go to God's Word and say, God, what's church supposed to be like? I'm going to go to your mind. Your opinion is the one that matters, right? The Bible in the New Testament uses this word, same. Be of the same mind in Romans 12. Be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Philippians 2:2, fulfill my joy. Be like-minded. Be of the same mind. Mind the same things. Philippians says it the most. The same. We all got to be the same. That's why we're big in discipleship. You know what discipleship does? It's 16 lessons. But you know what it does? It takes all this out here and all of these beliefs, and we all have different church backgrounds or no background. You know, we get it. What it does is it, one of the whole points of that is to unify us, to make sure that we believe what the Bible says on the majors. We've got to know what that is. We've got to be of the same mind. We've got to have a unified mind. People are not unified. What is the goal, the main goal of the church? Another word that the Bible uses over and over again is one mind. One mind. One. We got one book. We got to love this book with our all. And gang, in a world that's gone mad, in a world that's gone a little bit crazy, in a world that thinks everybody's opinion matters, we've got to be one on the source of healing. That's what separates us from everybody else. Well, there's people out there that might have a little bit of different beliefs on some things, but as a whole, we got to say, no, the source of our help is found in Christ and Christ alone. Once you meet Jesus Christ, then your growth and your mental development comes from what this book says. The problem is what are you going to do when the Bible contradicts what you feel? When the Bible contradicts what you think, what are you going to do? Who is really God? We're about to find out. Because a lot of people choose. There's like, this is just what I've always believed. It's hard to come to the conclusion that maybe what I've always believed is just not right. We all want to think that. God's never wrong. Right? Right? It's true, isn't it? So this book is Christ's mind. We've got to give our all to it and all to know it, man. We got to know this thing. Love this thing. Live this book. That's what Christians are supposed to do. God's opinion. That's what I bring to the table. People say, hey, what do you think? Well, if you're talking about what color to paint the wall, I'll give you my opinion. But if you're talking about an issue as big as the heart of mankind, if you want to talk about an issue as far as a culture and what mental health looks like, my opinion matters about as much as yours does, right? It's like armpits, right? We got a couple of them, and they usually don't end up smelling good by the end of the day. My opinion's not great, but God's is always great. And guys, we got to team up on that. That's what a team does. A team's got to be unified. And that's about be of one mind. Guys, we need to be of the same mind. I read the story this week, a good little story. There's this little teeny pygmy. This little pygmy, guys, man, living out in the middle of nowhere, out in the jungles. And this guy, this reporter, was going by and seen him, but he's standing over top of this gargantuous rhinoceros that he just killed. It was kind of an odd sight. Little bitty guy, this gargantuous rhinoceros, and he's dead. Big, violent rhinoceros, and this little pygmy standing, and the guy said, did you kill this thing? The little pygmy says, yes, I killed it. How did you do that? You're such a tiny little guy, and this is a massive animal. He says, it's kind of confusing. The guy, so I killed it with my club. Now I'm really confused. You killed it with a club? What kind of club you got? How big is your club? He said, there's about 100 of us. We got to have a club. We got to be a tribe. That's the only way the big ones go down. That's the only way we affect a culture. We got to do this together. All of us, right? You know, you can take 100 pianos out there, and as long as you use the same tuning fork, they can be tuned as one. And they could play as one, all 100 of them. But there's going to be unity, but it's got to be tuned to the same thing. Guys, listen. If you're not tuned to this book, you're out of tune. And we all got to make sure that we're tuned the same. Now, there's some things you can be... Hey, there's opinions on some things for sure. But you look at the majors, you can't have it, right? You cannot have it. So the first thing is, I just want to encourage you. Some of you would say, I like people that just says, you know, oh, I didn't get it. You know, I'm still not doing very well. You told me if I gotten a word this week that it would change me. Well, that's funny. You read Tuesday afternoon. What about Monday? What about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? Dude, you're not going to get the benefits that this book offers if you don't give it your all. It's going to require that. You need some serious brain operation, man. Some brain washing. You need like a heart transplant. This book can do it. Lay down. Give your all for it. And then we need to do it together. The Bible speaks that we have to have the same mind. And it's powerful when we do. And that's hard. We live in Laodicea. So we teach people to know the book. Get the book. Know the book. Sometimes it produces rebels. It really does, man. You know, we got a front door that opens up. We have guests in this church all the time, but our back door is open pretty wide too. People go out the back door. I'm just like, that's too bad, man. I wanted us to be a team of the same mind. I want us to be together on this thing. And it don't always work that way. But, you know, my last thing that I've learned when studying this topic in God's Word is, and I'll tell you who, there's a guy right now who's pretty famous. He's become famous over the last, like 8 years, 7 years, and it used to be a professor up in Canada by the name of Jordan Peterson. A lot of people like him, and a lot of young men are really, really liking this guy. Well, his daughter, I heard his daughter the other day speak, and she is, you know, she's got a podcast now. She's pretty popular herself, but this girl had a lot of autoimmune diseases. She was bedridden through high school. Just had a lot of, you know, you can just look it up. It's all over the place on like YouTube. And I like some of Jordan Peterson's speeches, but here's something I wanted to just point out this morning is that, and I'm not saying everything that he says that I agree with or like. His opinion's like my opinion. I'd just take this opinion over everybody's, right? Including him. They asked his daughter, they're like, so, you know, tell us, you know, about all this with your dad. She goes, let me tell you what. I'm ending my high school career. I'm lying in my bed. My father comes in. My father just says, well, the doctors have no answers. They put you on all kinds of medicine, different diets, all kinds of craziness. You still got tons of issues. So you've tried all these kind of answers and they're not working. And he told his daughter, he said, Kaylee, you got to figure this out. She said, my father freed me to think. And so I stepped out of the box and I started trying crazy things. And she did. She is single-handedly, it's her and her dad that's got this carnivore diet craze going. Because she has healed her body of so many of these crazy things that was going on. But most people would say, that's ridiculous. But they do her blood work. And this. So what I like about this is culture has given you answers. The medical industry is telling you this. Psychologists tell you to do this. She's done it all, not working. And so finally, they just, and the things she's doing is like simple things. It's crazy when you hear it. But young men are so attracted to this guy because, like, you know, they're broken and busted up. And Jordan Peterson just like, you better figure it out. You know what's crazy? Since he's went viral and this guy's gone crazy, now he's putting together a little bit like of a collegiate school. Of thinking and thought, because they want to get rid of him, because he's in the face of modern psychology. He's in the face of people that have thought, we need to think this way, and this is the way it just should be. He's going against all of them in the way he thinks, which, you know, it reminds me of a Christian, a believer. People are having a lot of success out there because they're not thinking the way everybody is thinking. They're doing something different, in their minds. And guys, this book just rules and reigns. And the bottom line is this. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. He's literally grabbing young men, and young men are coming up and it's like, well, I got this and I got that. And he goes, who told you you had that? He goes, well, I've been going to therapy for years. And my psychologist, he goes, young man, listen to me. What you have, that is not true. Why do you keep believing that? It keeps you coming back. Let's get you off these pills. And like a month later, they got these young guys that are just like, I've been in bondage for years to an industry that's kept me coming back. And so this Jordan Peterson, this is why he's such a hot commodity right now. And guess what? Keep watching his videos. You'll like him because he just speaks real straight. But all of a sudden it leads to a spot where he started talking about Christ. He started using Bible stories in his talks. And before you know it, it appears if he is not a Christian now, he is soon going to be. Something powerful about this book. Because you know what it does? It tells us how to think. Just like at the very beginning, choice. It's the most powerful tool we have. Everything boils down to choice. We exist in a field of infinite possibilities. Every choice we make shuts infinite number of doors, but opens an infinite number of doors. At any point, we can change the direction of our lives by a simple choice. It's all in our hands, hearts, and our minds. And that's why the Bible would say, you love God with all. You do life with a group of people that give God all of their mind and believe that this book is true. That's what you do. Check these verses out. There's three verses in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians use this. And it says this, hey, put off the old man and then put on the new man. It keeps saying that, but it says, which is renewed in knowledge in your mind. So the Bible says, put off the old man. It almost treats it like it's clothing. You know, if you look at stuff and you're like, man, I look kind of fat in this. What do? Well, you just throw it off. You usually don't even hang it back up. You throw it on your floor, don't you? Wonder why your room's a mess, right? And then you put on something you feel more comfortable in. The Bible literally just says, yeah, you need to put off the old man. Oh, yeah, that's the way the old man thought. You can just put him off. The Bible says you can. I'm not saying it's as easy as throwing a shirt on the ground. It's a lot more difficult than this. But the Bible says, hey, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Renew your mind in the knowledge of this book. Put off, put on, put off, put on, put off, put on, put off, put on. And I'll tell you what they'll do. And here's what people do. Is you're talking about an issue, you're talking about an issue, and people always say this, but I have this. I have that. Oh, she has this. She has that, you know. So your kid won't greet people that walk in the house. She's shy. Today they don't say that. They're just like, she's got a lot of anxiety. Oh, so she has anxiety, so she's not going to greet people and say hello? I had a kid like that in my house. We renewed her mind. And she still has anxiety. She still struggles. She's been to doctors before, talked about, you know, her health and all that. And you know what they want to recommend? Hey, we've got pills for that. And she's always really wanted them. And she's an adult. She can do whatever she wants to do. And let me tell you what. We were just traveling last night in the vehicle together, and she just said, you know, I'm stressed this year. Some things have changed, and I got a new person working in my room. And she just started talking about it. She goes, I'm not going to lie. I'm fearful. I'm fearful of this. And I'm real, like, anxious about it. And she says, but, Dad, I was listening to something the other day. A girl was giving a story, her testimony of God's word. And this girl just kept saying, man, would you just put that off? Put that thinking off. But she's like, I got anxiety. Like you're just saying, yeah, hey, I got a friend. This is my friend. You know, this is my friend. You own it, and all of a sudden you're partners, right? She goes, this is like, I was thinking, this is my anxiety. No, anxiety's not my friend. And I'm not going to hang with it. You know, Timothy says, God don't give that spirit. And sometimes you reckon it's real. You feel it. Believe me, we all feel it. And guys, and please, I'm not using my daughter's story that everybody across the board is just like her. We're all different. Some of you are, it's way more complex. So it just depends on who we are, what we have, our DNA. But she told me last night, she goes, you know, I just made a choice to just say, you know what? I am not going to live that. That's not my friend, man. I'm putting that off and I'm going to put a new mindset on. Wow. You know, some people look at an obstacle and other people see that same obstacle and say, this could be a good opportunity here. Yes. Most people were looking at Goliath going, who can whip the giant? Who can fight this massive individual? David shows up at the slingshot and said, he's so freaking big, you can't miss him. Just throw a rock that direction, you're going to hit him. And we know what happens at the end of that story. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says we have such a choice. I have found 7 verses that uses the word be, like it says, I want you to be like-minded. Hey, this mind, it talks about the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Like, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Yes, make the choice to say, God, I'm going to take that on. And some of you say, well, how can you just flip a switch and do that? Well, choice is kind of like that. Sometimes I put things on memory cards. I used to do that and get out. What am I doing? I keep putting them in my mind. I've got to convince myself. I've got to keep going to the Bible. Man, I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. You know how it is. You're struggling, feeling worthless, especially maybe you just had a relationship breakup. Maybe your job's not going so well. You're not feel like you're thriving there. You just feel kind of like a loser. You know what you need to do? Renew your mind. You need to get in God's Word and you read passages. He says, I gave my life for you. You're that valuable. I gave Jesus Christ for you. You're a child of the King. Yes, in the midst of loss, to sit back and say, is that really going to be your identity? It can be. If you want to be crazy. Or you can make a choice and say, I'm going to be this mind. I'm going to have this kind of mind. Be not soon even shaken in mind. It uses the word be. Young men in Titus chapter 2. Be sober-minded. Young people can be sober-minded. We don't like to hear that, though. You know when you don't like to hear that? When you're not sober-minded. You don't like to hear those things. It's hard to hear. When you're acting the buffoon, man. When you're playing the fool. Believe me, I know I've done it before. And the people, we all have all these excuses why we're this way or that way. Or I have a right to be. Yeah, if you live my life, then also that's why you can be nasty. You're a nasty woman. Knock that attitude off. Put on the mind of Christ. Be a believer. Be different minded. Just because you were treated wrong and people stepped on you, you now are abusing other people because you've been abused. As a Christian, God says he's not standing for that. He says in Philippians 4:7, you keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You got that, sir? Unacceptable. It's like having people when you go in and their dog's jumping all over you. I'm like, man, just sorry, man. This is just what he does this. Out of control. Really? Really? Man, watch the dog show, man. Get on there and watch that little guy slap these dogs into shape. Big old massive pit bulls and jumping on everybody. And the dog whisperer comes in the room and the dog sits down. He's like, he will not jump on me. I will not. Boy, the dog had a change of mind real quick, didn't he? You know why? Because the top dog walked in the room. And guys, I'm telling you, man, if we'd let this book be the top dog in our life, it would put you in a much better spot. Hey, the troubles are real. And some of you, I get it, man. DNA is powerful. You know, glands. Glands are so powerful. I'm real careful in Bible counseling because, you know, glandular issues are strange. Because just the smallest little gland can throw the right chemicals off. And you've seen people... like, how'd this weight just come on me? I'm not eating anything different. Yeah, boy, something's messed up there, you know. And people, highs and lows, all kinds of crazy things. There are real things with the human body and the mind. I get that. I'm just talking about the majority. Let's quit looking at situations and saying that's like the same forever. And honestly, guys, we talk about things like crazy things. Like, even this transgender issue that's out there, it's not as big... our culture talks a lot about it. And that's why it appears to be big. There's not as many people that struggle with a gender identity as we think. They just play it. And then every junior hire that comes up and has seen it on You know, social media, they'll act like it and they'll play it in their mind a little bit. It's a mind issue. It's a mind issue. The mind of Christ needs to dominate. It's the one we've got to push forward. It's the one we got to do. When Romans 12, 16 says, hey, mind not high things, you know what we need to do? Hey, mind not high things. That's what we need to do. Oh, yeah. It's easier said than done. Well, I got news for you. I didn't say it. The Creator did. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. Hey, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's easy for you to say, but you don't have this. I've been diagnosed with this. Hey, I didn't diagnose you as that. And that's the words I'm giving you here are Romans chapter 12. The Creator of the human being said that. That you do not have to conform like everybody's conforming to. You can be transformed, but it's going to start with a mind change. God said that. I didn't say that. And you know what everybody always says to me? This is how people get away from you. They'll just say, yeah, but I have this. You know what happened to me? And they always bring a situation, something that happened. I got this, I'm taking this, I got this, something's wrong here. Everybody always says that, and they say that, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, you're right. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 does not work for you. Well, I'm not really saying that. No, that's exactly what you're saying. I'm not saying it ain't going to be harder for more people, for others to do than some than others. I get it. There's some, it's like weight loss. Some people are just born skinny. You ever meet somebody that they can't gain weight? I've got several friends like that. I've never had that issue. I got to watch the other side of it. He's like, man, I wish I could take some of your weight. I'm like, yeah, I wish I could take some of your bones, man. Yeah, that's just how we were made, you know? Sometimes we got to do it. We're not talking about things like that. So weight loss is going to be a lot difficult for me than skinny boy. And he would say, yeah, man, I wish I could gain weight like chubby boy over there. Yeah, I get that. You know, we're all made a little bit different. We're talking about the mind. The Bible says in James 4 that to be not double-minded, you can purify your heart. To not be double-minded. The Bible says, guys, I'm not making this up. I've got a list of like 53 scriptures in front of me right now. This is what God said on the subject. So you can say that pastor's mean. He just don't understand. He said, well, you can take that up with the Creator, the God that wrote this book that says things can be different, that you can gird up the loins of your mind. You can do it through this book. It's the way God set it up. Wow. But people don't like to believe it, do they? No, it's hard. You know why it's hard? Because it contradicts my life sometimes. I want an excuse for my poor behavior. I want an excuse for my child's poor behavior. I just want an excuse. There's a couple, talking about child rearing, and I don't want to step too hard on this one because something's different today. I can totally sense it and see it. They've got all kinds of reasoning behind it. I don't know what's true, what's not true. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. You know what I am? I'm Bible man. I'm just a preacher. And I think it's my job sometimes to take a complex world and say, it's not that complex. There's actually a simplicity here. Let's just take the simplicity. And the excuses, every generation has a couple more excuses of why their lives are the way they are. There's a guy named Viktor Frankl. I've always liked this guy. He's a psychiatrist, and he existed back. He went through the Holocaust. He existed at a time when every psychologist was just saying that, you know, mankind, his thinking was just different because they're just like, you know, mankind is just pleasure seeking. And his book that got famous was called Man's Search for Meaning. As he studied people. And guys, this Viktor Frankl, there was a building of young younger people, younger adults, and suicide was like through the roof. Out of like 100 patients that last year, they had 30 of them commit suicide. Then they put more. So it was a basically like a psychiatric ward. And he came in there, and he believes people are searching for meaning, something that's bigger than them and something that's true. He goes in there, and under his watch, he existed there for a couple years. He worked there. Not one. Not one took their life. Not one. But I think the guy's onto something. Besides this, this guy goes through the Holocaust, loses family members, almost loses his own life, and he gets out. He wants to help people find real meaning in their life. There's something about this guy that's just very intriguing to me. He says this: everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. You can't take that from somebody. This is coming from a guy that went through the Holocaust. Nobody suffered like in history. There's been several chunks in history where people have really suffered. This is one everybody always points to. He just said, I realize that. You cannot take that from a man. So even when life deals you horrible hands, he says, every human being has the freedom to change at any instant. The power of choice, man, it's super powerful. But you can choose to live handicapped the rest of your life if you want to. I just don't want to. And some of you, it's going to be harder in this department than others. Some of you, it's going to be harder in this area than others. We're all different, right? No judgment here. The judge is here. This is what he says. Don't look at me like he's judging me. And I've literally had people want to leave and just say, you make me feel terrible. Well, I hope it's not me making you feel terrible, but if these words make you feel terrible, if I was you, I'd do some hard looking, hard digging. You know, it's like looking in the mirror just saying, my gosh, this mirror makes me look ugly. No, that mirror revealed the ugly. And that's what God's word does. It's the perfect law of liberty. I see myself for who I am, and it's not always pretty. It hurts. So guys, here's our takeaway for today. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua calls his family, his people together, and he just says, I want you to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Me and my family, this dad made the decision for his family. Ain't that something? Me and my family, we're serving the Lord. We're choosing to serve the Lord, even if the rest of you do not agree with us. And Joshua took that flag, God's word, and he raised it up, and he put it at the very top of the pole for everyone to see. And when Junior says, Dad, I don't know if I want to serve the Lord, he says, as long as you live in this house, this is the way it's going to be. You can go out and carve your own path at some point, at some age, but he made the choice. He said, choose you this day. You know, Deuteronomy 30, the Bible says, you know, you can choose life or death. And then it goes and says, you can choose blessing or cursing. And you know what the Bible says? Hey, choose life. Choose the blessing, man, would you? But the choice is yours. And we always have a saying in my house, if you choose to go contrary to the Bible, if you choose sin, then you're choosing the suffering. That's just how it works. You can choose that if you want to. People make all these decisions to go against the Bible. And they go contrary to the Bible, and then they sit back and just be like, we just want to take our lives. Because everybody's just, we're so oppressed and bullied. The reason why I can't believe that kind of language and talk, one, I know the standards that God's word put out. But there's no minority group of people that have suffered like African Americans. We forced them out of a land and brought them over, and we enforced slavery on them against their will. That group of people has been abused and used. And I'm not saying it's the same today, but there is still, so it depends on where you're at today. It's still mentalities that mess that up. That group of people has been oppressed more than any people on the planet, I would say, probably, maybe besides the Jews. Did you know when you start talking suicide stats, African-Americans that take their lives are at the bottom of the pile? Ain't that something? But yet the Bible says if you decide to choose, you got life or death, you can choose cursing or blessing. You choose to go contrary to the Bible. You know what the Bible says happens? You're choosing the curse, my friend. You're choosing the destruction. It's a choice you make. And guys, I'm all about choice. Seriously, there's lifestyles I disagree with, and somebody says, well, this is what I choose. I'm like, God gives all of us a choice. That is your choice. You could totally be that or do that or say that. That's welcome to America, right? It can happen. But you're also choosing the consequence of that decision. Romans 6, verse 16. I love this verse. It says, to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Choose you this day. What are you going to yield to? And today, the choice is we will yield to God and his word. Period. All. Together. We got the choice. It's our choice. Daily choose. Daily choose. Terry gave a testimony. He said, I'm going into work, immediately thinking things are not going to be good. I'm lacking. I'm already in trouble. He sees it, knows it. And what did he do? God, whew, help me today. I'm about to lose it. I could go in here and take a nail gun and shoot everybody that walks by. But I'm going to please you today. And he ends the day like, wow. The circumstances didn't change. They were still not good. What changed? His mind was renewed. Daily choose for all of your mind to love and to please God. All of it. Daily make that choice, the Bible says. Out of your mind, into the mind of Christ. I'm choosing today to be out of my mind and into the mind of Christ. It's a choice daily. Let's choose to honor our God. Let's choose to believe this book together. We're never going to be a church. I don't think this church is for everybody. I want everybody to come to this church. But if you don't believe that, there's churches that get up and don't teach the Bible. And they love each other. They get together. They might have good music. They might even have better coffee and desserts. I don't know. But we're going to be a church that just says, you know what we do? We're going to preach. We're going to teach this book. And no matter what culture does or believes, we're going to teach and preach the Bible. We're going to stand on this. And if anything goes against it, any opinion that comes against this, we take God's opinion over all of it. And I don't care if Dr. Howe and Fine decide something different. They're going to lose. They're going to lose that decision-making because what this book says. So guys, I believe this wholeheartedly. And this is my last week talking about mental health, even though I talk about it every week. But I just want you to know, choice is powerful. You can choose today to believe this book. And I'm not saying, you know, getting rid of the crazies. I know it's going to be difficult, but you know what you got to do? You know how it is. It's like, you know, to me, you know, well, I'll just get real with you. I got diagnosed like, I don't know how long ago it was now. They said, you got diabetes, you know, and I believe it. I've witnessed my uncles getting their limbs cut off, and, you know, I've seen it. It's been in my family, and I decided to do nothing about it. And so they kept checking my blood sugar, just saying, ooh, you're bad, you're bad. Sometimes they go to the emergency room. I ain't going to the emergency room. I kept checking it. I'm just like, why is my blood sugar so high? And I felt good, like, you know. I did. I was lit up. I ran good with high blood sugar. You know, when you gets too low, you watch people, like, want to pass out. That wasn't me. I just ran super high. My body adjusted, and I just was living life, not realizing I was hurting myself. But the doctor kept saying, do this, do this, do this. You got to do it daily. Mike, it's a long game. They got something with diabetes. You take your blood sugar, and it You can prick your finger or do whatever, and it'll read it and say, oh, your blood sugar is, bam. Well, I would do that. But then what they do is they got something called the A1C, which takes your blood sugar over a three-month period. So, like, I would get my blood sugar, I'd be like, my blood sugar's perfect. Well, then after I ate six chocolate chip cookies and three cold pieces of pizza before bed, then I'd get up in the morning, of course, and it was times four. So my doctor says, Mike, we're playing the long game here. It's the long game. Just start small, and I'm extreme. Start small. I was like, no, that's it. I won't eat nothing. She goes, well, try some fasting. That's it. I fast. I won't eat for 4 days. How about that one? She's like, no, stop it. Maybe skip a meal. Just one meal. Every day for a month. I said, I think you need a counselor. To tell people stuff like that's crazy. You know? You look at the food pyramid and how many times you're supposed to eat, and you're like, then you start, you ever study the food pyramid? You think it'd been done by like health professionals? That was not created for the health of people. That was created for the Almighty. Just check it out. Look at how that got created. It'll blow your mind. You're like, man, why have we been following that for years, man? I remember sitting in elementary school and like, man, pizza ain't a bad thing. Because, you know, it depends on what you put on it. You can put your veggies on it. You know, you got your grains in there. You can put meat on it. You got some protein in there. Pizza was like the number one food. I'm like, great, order too large. I'm good for this, you know, right? And it was all false. But anyways, I believed it because that's what was sold to me. That's what they taught me. And so I just believed it. But by golly, I'll tell you what I did. Here's a miracle. You know what I did? I listened to her. Everything she said, I just said, okay. 3 months later, I go in and she's like, what have you done? She goes, look at your A1C. I knew it was going to be lower, but I was like, that's it. My point is this. I'm no hero. I just knew I needed to do it daily. My life had to operate in such a way that I'm in trouble. I can't eat everything that everybody can eat. I'm still out of trouble because then I find out what I can eat and I still eat a lot of it. I'm working on that part of it. The point is, some of you that have some real troubles in your life, in your home, with your children, not even with other people, maybe your troubles are here. You're always fearful. You don't, you're confused. You're always, you know, and you're weird. Guys, there's a lot of different ailments out there that plague the mind. Every day, all the time, you develop a lifestyle of getting in God's word and soak it and let it renew your mind. Flush the garbage out that you think and that you believe and put God's word in every day. If you do that every day, you'll be amazed in 30 days. You'll be amazed in 3 months. You'll be amazed in 3 years, and people will look at you and say, I can't believe you're the same person. I thought you were. They told me I was all of these things. But God's word told me different. I'm telling you, take the challenge. Or you can take your middle finger as I'm getting ready to pray and close my eyes and just stick it up at me if you want to. But I'm listening. Let me give you my heart behind this. Ready? My heart behind all of this. And listen, man, you got to listen to this. My heart behind it is, I see a world. I see a group of people. They're plagued. They're troubled. They're getting off work at night when you should be excited to get home and to be with your family and have a night of relaxing. And people are coming home and just like, oh my gosh, we got to go here. We'll just run through the drive. I got to run the kid over here. You get home and you're like, oh my gosh, my kid's not like other kids. We can't, got to do this homework. Did that homework assignment take you guys 2 hours? Like, it didn't take me nothing. Well, she's in the same class as my kid. I don't do her homework. I did mine when I was in school. She does her work. Yeah, but you don't do that? No. Oh, well, we were up till 10 o'clock last night in the tears. Then we got to get can't get in the morning or late to school. And everybody's lives are just like chaos. The reason I wanted to preach this series is I just think our world needs some relief, man. Our world needs some truth. We're fed all this false, like garbage. It comes out everywhere we're at. You hear it. Social media. If you watch the nightly news, and before you wonder why we're fearful. I watch the nightly news and I find out they're killing people. There's big problems over in this country. They're fighting over here. Guys, I got news for you. I got a war at 714 North 8th Street. I can't handle Pakistan. What am I watching it for? That's not my fight to fight. What's the fight that I really need to fight? Well, I'll tell you what, in my house, we want to renew our minds with this book. As a pastor, I want to train men and women that would be willing to risk their life and go to a dangerous place like a Pakistan, like many places in the world, in one life at a time. Give them some good news. Give them a book that can revolutionize the way they think. They'll stop behaving the way they're behaving. It'll change their heart and change their behavior. There'll be a whole culture that will change. But now we got a whole culture that is nuts. They're loony. You know why they're loony? Because everybody thinks they're right. There's only one that's right all the time. Only one. I think I'm right a lot. And when I don't line up with this book, a lot of times my wife will say, he's wrong. Yes, I am. I'm a human being. But this book's correct, right? What motivated this is I'm sick of people struggling. I'm sick of hearing the BS answers that people get given. Your life does not have to be that hard. You got to make a choice today. Are you going to follow God with your all? That's the choice you need to make daily. Every day you're going to get in here and go at it. This is the long game. And I know you've been thinking this way for a long time, but you don't understand. My dad was this, my mom was that, and it produced me. I'm telling you, I got it, my family. Now everybody has nuts, man, in their family tree. Everybody. Get God's word. You know what God's word does? Shakes the tree, man. And the nuts come falling, right? It's true. Jesus, thank you so much for your word, Lord. I believe it's powerful, and I pray that people are filled with hope today that your word still works. We've had this Bible now for almost 2,000 years and a culture that's running from it, and it's very confused. God, I pray we don't have to be psychos and weirdos, but we can just be your people. We can be unified together that this book changes the hearts and minds and lives of people, that people can have real victory inside, that you will take their sin and they can meet you and be saved. That would be the beautiful start. And God, and then we can grow. Our minds can change. And God, we don't have to think that way. We don't have to think like trash. God, I don't have to think like a gangster. I can think like a child of the King. Lord, you can change my mind and change my heart. I do believe that. And God, I wish it for a world, and mainly I wish it for a group of people in this room. Hey, everybody that's in this room, I want one shout out right now. You can keep your heads bowed if you want, and I'll say amen in a second. But if your head's bowed right now, the Bible says the only way for eternal life is through Jesus Christ. The only way to God, there's only one mediator, it's Christ Jesus. So we've been talking a lot about the mind and behavior, but let me tell you what, this all starts off with you meeting a living God, and he'll make your spirit inside alive when you meet Jesus Christ. He'll put his Holy Spirit inside of you. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? It's death. Without Jesus Christ, the Bible says you'll spend an eternity separated from God in a pit. The Bible uses the word hell, and then it uses the word lake of fire down the road. That's the prison for you for the rest of your life, because the wages of sin is death, and we're all born in sin. Jesus Christ has taken that. So I want to put a plea out this morning. Is there anybody in this room that you're like, okay, I need Christ. I've got to end this madness. I look at my family, the way everybody's turning out, and I'm going down the same road. Yeah, you can't help it. It's the same with all of us. You're not alone, my friend, but you need a Savior. Is there anybody in this room right now that would raise your hand and say, I need to be saved, man. I am spiritually dead. And Christ is going to give you life today. And I'd like to show you that in the Bible. Is there anybody? You just got to raise your hand and get my attention. raise your hand, and I'm going to give somebody that's going to show you in the Bible, man. You're going to see God's word, not mine, not my opinion. I want you to see it in Scripture. Is there anybody here that would say, okay, I don't think I'm saved. I need Christ. Get my attention. Anybody? Shake your hand. Almost everybody in this room has done this at one point or another, has met Christ, and they'll tell you it's the difference maker. Does anybody need to be saved? Anybody? You're not sure you're a Christian? Okay, Christian, now it's on us. I mean, we've heard week after week after week, we've been talking about mental health. And guys, what we need to do today is make a choice that we're going to love God with all. With all my mind, man, I'm going to love Him. I'm going to believe what His book says. I'm going to end this madness. We need to make a decision that we're going to do it together. We're going to live this book and love this book together. As a church, man, as Christians, we're giving our all to this. And we need to leave today knowing that this is our choice. And some of you need to make a decision today. I'm not doing this daily. I wonder why I keep going back and forth and why I have every problems. You know, the water feels so cold because you keep dipping your toes in it, man. You keep going into your waist and like, this is too cold. You guys know the secret to this, don't you? You run in and dive. That's what you do. I was at the ocean not too long ago. Nobody was in it because the water was too cold. It wasn't cold anymore when I dove in. People think, who's that nut out there? Well, I wasn't standing on the edge letting this cold water splash up on my feet. That was miserable. But once I dove in, my body's temperature adjusted. I was the only one having fun in the ocean. Why don't you be that one today? I think as Christians, let's make a decision. I'm doing this thing. I'm going for it. Hey guys, our church disciples people, man. We'll meet weekly, open up God's word together just so we can get in the Bible. You need a little accountability, you know. I do not like my diabetic doctor, but I need her. And I visit with her consistently. You know I don't like her. I just don't like half the time what she tells me. Jesus, thanks for your word. I pray today that we leave this place fired up, that we're tired of being part-timers, not getting any benefits of the Christian life because we're just doing it part way. Jesus, I pray today we would fully commit like you did. Lord, thanks for this book. This book has literally changed my heart. It has changed my life. It's changed my behavior. It changes my mind. God, I pray we'd be a group of people that we would do this every day, all the time, make this decision to take your opinion over our own. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.